prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 25 August 2025. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We are so glad you're with us. The nice program, folks, is going to be a very, very important program. We're going to talk to David Daniels. I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but please stay tuned for this. And get a pen and paper handy. I'm going to give you a phone number. But please get a pen and paper handy right now. We'll give it to you in about a minute and a half. All right? Please do that. It's important to do that. Before we go to that, what we'll discuss tonight, for this week, and this week this will end, the two books have been offering, two excellent books. Both of them are needed for Christian education. For children at home, whether in public school or not, and for the parents also. Two books. One entitled The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution by J.T. Headley. It's a book that's it's a history of our nation and the true founders that started it. The pastors and clergy of the revolution are the ones that started saying it, our push to liberty and freedom. It's 112 pages long. It's a book that you need to read. To read about the men who stood for the truth in the 1700s. At the cost of many of their lives. Now, that is a fact. And also, do we have another book we're offering that Daryl Eberhardt, a dear brother, compiled for us, Quotations to Read and Ponder, quotations from famous men, mostly good, some bad. But nonetheless, it's a book that you need to understand what the people are saying, what you're talking about, and what kind of men they really were. A book full of wisdom, if you will. Both books are normally almost $44. They're on sale for $35. That includes postage. The quotations to read and ponder, about 108 pages long, 110, somewhere in that area. Both books for $35 for this week. After this week, they're going to be, well, we're about at them anyway, but we have a few of those left, $35 for those two books. And I'm offering for this rest of this month, and there'll be a on this also, the very, very important teaching God blessed me with on America in prophecy. America is in the Bible. That's a fact. This lesson is 3 hours long on DVD or CD, but I do recommend DVD. It comes with another book along with it, The New Jerusalem, not the Old Jerusalem, and also the outline of the lesson that I taught. It's all available. It was $39.95, now it's $29.95, and that includes shipping. If you want to understand what's happening right now in the Mideast and what's between Russia and Ukraine and what's happening inside the United States as we speak, this book will explain to you. This teaching will explain to you. So you call 800-777-4403. or 304-846-4448 and tell Faith you went to order these two books. And if you want to send a check or whatever, money, or you can do that also. Just get her address and send it right out to us. But please, please, to learn this, please do this. Here's a phone number to call, and I want you to do this. I just wrote the letter this past Thursday and mailed it to the CEO of Cracker Barrel, who is seeking to change the family atmosphere of Cracker Barrel. She's, a member of the woke crowd. Her name is Julie Marino. Julie Marino, M-A-R-I-N-O. I would like for you to at least call this number. Now, if you want the address, I have it available. If you want the address to write, which I think is better. But if you don't have time to do that, it's a toll-free number. At least call, leave a message for Julie Marino, CEO of Cracker Barrel. Folks, we got to stand up. We might not stop it, but that's not the point. The point is to do what's right. Duty is ours. Consequences are God's. We must stand for the truth no matter what it costs, and whether we win or lose in our minds is not the point. It's to glorify our God. A toll-free number to call and say you oppose the change of their logo and their stance basically on family values. The number is 800-333-9566. 800-333-9566. Please call that number and voice your opinion to these people. Please take a stand. If a few hundred of y'all, if a thousand of y'all do that, this would ring a bell with them. I know that there's thousands of listeners out there. Please do this. 800-333-9556. Now, our guest today, as I mentioned a minute ago, is David Daniels. He wrote a book entitled From Faith to Doubt. From Faith to Doubt. Those of you who keep up with us on our Bible studies, we do them at our church services, well, know I did a teaching a month or two ago on seeds of doubt and seeds of faith. And this book backs that up big time. And on top of that, if you can get to a computer, you can get on YouTube or somewhere online, look up a movie made back in 2004, I think it was. Todd Waite, our producer there at Global Star, said, watch this movie, Pastor, you have time. He sent it to me, emailed to me. Fantastic movie. Fantastic movie with a point that goes along with this book, actually. It's entitled Time Changer. Time, T-I-M-E, Time Changer. This book will open your eyes at what a little change can make in a nation's future. I promise, this once you start this movie will tie you into it, will draw you into it. It's entertaining and very makes a very, very important point. Time Changer. Go on YouTube, look it up, or get a copy of it somewhere, and please watch this movie called Time Changer. Please, take my word for this. I will never mislead you on purpose. This movie will open your eyes to see what it means when a little bit of doubt is put in people's minds. It spreads throughout society and destroys the body of the church and eventually a nation. And our guest tonight, David Daniels, know this very well. David, are you there?
I am.
It's good to have you, sir. Thank you for taking time to join Old Hillbilly out here in West Virginia.
My pleasure.
It's good to have you, and I do mean that. I seriously do. This book you've written, From Faith to Doubt, exposing Westcott and Hort and what they did and how they did it and how it all tied into all the new standard Bibles out there, if you will, all the new revisions of the Bibles, including what the Catholics have done to the Scriptures, is phenomenal. It is very detailed, and sometimes I got to do a bit of studying to follow along with it because it's very well written, and you put all the information right along with it and how they changed it and why they changed it. Folks, this book is a phenomenal book, and I'm hoping that you'll believe me well enough that you want to get a copy of this. And I realize You people are not wealthy. Most of you can't afford everything I talk about, and I know that. But if I didn't believe it's important, I wouldn't talk about it. I really wouldn't. We here at the ministry try to offer everything we have in office as low a price as possible, trying to make it available to everybody that can at all afford it. And we give a lot of things away free also when people are desperate. And we do that. This is a ministry. This is not a business. Never was a business. This is all about glorifying our Father in heaven, getting the word of Christ out to the people. This book is so important that you understand what is happening and how it's happened to our country and to the minds of the churches, the pastors, and the Christians in this nation. It's absolutely phenomenal in how it exposes so much and how subtly they brought the changes in, and most people never noticed it. It came in so smoothly, most people didn't notice it. And David, I got to tell you, this book is, I think, a game changer. If anybody's doubting the Word of God, the 1611 King James Bible, if they're doubting it, they need to have this book in their hand. And I want to thank you for taking time to write this. This must have took at least a day or two to write this.
Yeah, it took a decade. It was a lot of research, piece by piece, and it started by a challenge from a friend. He said, those quotes that people pull out of Westcott and Hort are way out of context, and they don't mean what you think they mean. They're actually very faithful people. And so I went through and started to find out, well, is he right or not? So I went through and found out that at the beginning of the book, it turns out that Westcott has a son named Arthur and Hort has a son named Arthur. And both Arthurs, when their dads died, put together their letters into two volumes, each called Life and Letters of Brooks Westcott or John Anthony Hort. And in Westcott, he writes that there were people that were thinking that he lost, that Westcott, his dad, had lost his faith. And he said, no, that's not even true. But then I tried to put in chronological order what these guys were saying, or what specifically Westcott was saying. And when I did, I realized that they're using terms that I did not know. I'm not from the Church of England, so I don't know what Trinity Sunday is, and I don't know what the 13th whatever after Trinity is. So I went and got myself some 1800 liturgical calendars for each individual year that's in the book and figured it out and wrote them out. And what I found out was that all these different places that I was looking for sections where he talked about his faith, about scripture, about Catholicism, and various things, and about the new translation, and I put those out, I found out they were all out of order. So I arranged them in order, and when I did, there it was. He went from faith to doubt. Why would his son put him out of order? To put people off the track. When I put him in order, I realized he had literally stepped one step at a time from faith into doubt. But here I want you to think about this. All you people out there, y'all have kids, grandkids, or friends who are in Bible college, Bible school, or seminary. When they go in, they want to be ready, but they're going to be attacked from the moment they go in, just like I did. I was when I went into Bible college and into seminary. They immediately attack the King James Bible. They attack the idea of one Bible that you can trust. They move it so that you trust your professors and doubt the scriptures.
I got to say this. There's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason why they would attack the King James Bible. We'll get that more later on. So, folks, this was not an accident. But go ahead, David.
Yeah, well, and the book describes it one step at a time, from Westcott's own words and from Hort's own words. So it doesn't leave any doubt as to what they really believe. But what happens is they place their trust in men. But let me give you a setting now. Let me set the picture. England was almost like an American Bible college. The religion was Christianity. It was the state religion. When you went to college, you read. You had Bible, you had scripture, you had catechism, you had chapel that you had to go to. You had all that stuff together, and you had religion classes. It's not that much different from a modern Bible college. So what they went through is a one-to-one correspondence to exactly what these kids and I and all these people I know have went through and are going through and are about to go through going into Bible college. And so all the mistakes that happen are right there in plain sight in Westcott's own words and in Hort's own words, because Westcott had a girlfriend, and he wrote to her. And as he wrote back and forth with her, he shared stuff about his life and his faith and his doubts and everything. But he also kept his own personal diary where he went even deeper than he would even tell his girlfriend, who became his fiance, who became his wife. And all that stuff is open to us now. Because I had to dig in when he mentioned some little thing. I got a Vinay on my desk. Does that mean he have a bottle of wine? No, it means he had a controversial book by a certain guy, and I found out who the guy was and what he was teaching. Suddenly, as I found out everything he was referring to, a giant picture came in, and it became clear that the 1800s were a giant move of the Catholic Church
Absolutely.
To destroy the Protestants and
Absolutely.
Baptists.
And, you know, I want to make a statement real quick, also, if you don't mind. Hort and Westcott did not come in with the intention of doing this. They were deceived also, were they not?
Absolutely. They came in, they had a general religious education, they had nice parents, they weren't closet Satanists. It's really important as Christians that we don't go exaggerating stuff, because we ruin our own argument. The point is, we're just showing them, they're people just like us. But the Bible says, though hand join in hand, that you're still going to be guilty if you guys go against the Lord.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people join your association, but it is also like Romans 1. When you are fallen, you have this vested interest in wanting everyone around you to be fallen too. It wasn't until after, as you'll see in the book, and you saw it for yourself, after Westcott lost his faith that he wanted to change the Bible. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It truly is. And the process didn't happen overnight. I mean, even to these two men. I try to teach
right.
this in a Bible study about the seed of doubt and the seed of faith. They look almost, it's like wheat and tares. They look, that seeds look exactly alike. But as the Bible says, why the good men slip, the people slip, the enemy came in and planted the tares. And that is, this was the point that got my attention when I was teaching it. He sowed the tares and left. He left because he knew the tares would multiply on their own. He'd have to keep planting more seed. It's like weeds in a garden. Well, you can dig them out 1 week and they're back to next week. That's just the way doubt is. You can pluck it up, root it out, but no one will take its place. And the enemy knows this. So once you start with a doubt in your mind about the truth of God's word, it's easy for that seed to multiply, isn't it?
That's right. And the starting point in the Bible, God never calls it the Christian doubt. He calls it the Christian faith.
Amen.
And he says that he'll bless us from faith to faith. So, and the sword of, we have the sword of the Spirit, but we have the shield of faith that we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if we don't have faith, and that's what the devil's going to hit at, bang, 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 bang. From the day they walk into Bible college, the first thing they'll tell them is, well, we don't accept that King James Bible. We don't accept that. We'll accept a new King James, and we'll accept the new ESV, and we'll accept a new American Standard, and we'll accept a legacy John MacArthur Bible, but we're not going to accept that King James because it's just outdated. They have no evidence they've given. They just tell you from the first day, and they start working on you. Why? Because once you, it wheedles away your faith in the Bible, then what do you got to cling to? The guy who told you, that's your teacher. So the people become loyal to their teachers, and they become more susceptible to every false doctrine that those teachers will teach.
What, is it fair for me to say that the so-called Christian schools and colleges today, Bible colleges, are usually the biggest destroyer of Christian faith in a nation?
Yes. Oh, I would definitely say that. I would say that quickly. I wouldn't say that about our church. Our church has some people that absolutely believe the King James Bible. It's tried, tested, and proved over 400 years, and they believe it, and their faith is in it, and they wouldn't have anything but it, and that's great. And there's a number of really blessed believers that are doing that. But the big places with the big names, like the ones I went to, like Fuller Seminary and now Hope International University, they're following with everybody else down that big, long train of doubt. And they even try to say they're teaching it scientifically, but science is based on doubt, not faith.
Amen.
It's not based on what did God promise and how do we find it.
Well, as I've heard Bible scholars say, and I agree with them, if science shows something different than Scripture, it's not just Scripture in error, it's science in error. And people don't understand
and
that's
how
that's
many
faith.
Times have we found that to be true?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I've got to make this comment. There's another talk show that I've heard pieces of. I can't stand to listen to it because it just makes me stick in my stomach. These so-called Hebrew scholars, they come on the air and they talk about using the holy name of Christ, and I'm not picking that part of it, but how we don't pronounce it, the name of the prophets right, and we don't do this right and don't do the other thing right. And that now they're teaching that the Christian faith is full of errors and heresies, and that is dividing people also, people of doubt that are starting to believe doubt. Well, hear this and think, well, the Christian faith isn't pure. With that, the Bible, you can't believe the Christian faith, and you can't. And so I'm seeing even the so-called scholars, Hebrew scholars, they think there's something really special because they know the Hebrew name of Christ. They're coming out now saying that the Christian faith is absolutely erred, is wrong, you can't trust it. And that makes me angry, brother, because I see enough false teachings everywhere, but now it's coming from so-called believers who say that they know more than the born-again believers do because they know the Hebrew language better. Now, isn't that nonsense?
Yeah, here's what I want people to think about, and I like that God has made his word so easy if we just take our time and
Amen.
Not rush.
Amen.
Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, go in to teach all nations. What did the apostles decide to do? The name Elohim, whenever the apostles quoted Elohim, they used the Greek theos. Theos is our word God. Whenever they had the word Jehovah or Adonai, they used the word Kurios, which is Lord. The King James Bible exactly does what the apostles did. So when
yes.
it finds Elohim, it puts God, and it has and the capital G, little o, D. And when it's Jehovah, it puts Lord, except when the two are together in reverse order, and that's when it goes, when God is capital G, capital O, capital D, that's Jehovah. But you'll always know. You actually have more than the apostles did, just a little extra help. So you always know what the Hebrew says. But the apostles did not use the name Jehovah. They did not use the name Elohim. They did not use all those things. They spoke to them, and they used Jesus. They did not use Yeshua or whatever, Yahweh, whatever they come up with. Because I got so many, I don't even know how to pronounce them anymore. They simply did translate for the people to whom they spoke. And I believe that I should follow the apostles because God inspired them. The Catholic Church has all these church fathers, you know? Well, we only have eight. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. They're the eight people that were inspired by God to tell us what our faith is. Anybody else is a pretender.
That's very true. And folks, I know we're getting a little bit off the book right now in some areas, but I had to expose that. Be careful of these so-called learned men, the Pharisees and Sadducees, legalists, if you will. Now, listen, I believe in the law of God. People call me legalist because I believe the Scripture is still and the Ten Commandments are still commandments. They're not suggestions. I believe that. I believe the breaking of the law is still sin. Matter of fact, that's what the Bible tells us sin is. But nonetheless, these people go out with, and I've heard them speak, they're mean-spirited. They're hateful-talking people as a whole. And I don't understand how people can even stand and listen to them because they come across as, if you don't know this, you're a really stupid idea. That just comes across in their attitude. But I see that, but when you read your book when you wrote your book here about Westcott and Hort, I did not know most of this stuff you put in here. I'm so glad you took time to put it together because it explains that these men did not start out to be deceived or deceive anybody else. It's just what they went into themselves and what they were taught, and they started doubting the Word of God and listened to their scholars, their teachers, if you will, the experts in the field, just like these other teachers we call today, call them Hebrew scholars, started doing. And they're putting doubt in people's mind about the true faith, and it's destroyed the church overall, hasn't it?
Right. When Westcott was 19 years old, he wrote to his childhood sweetheart on August 31st, 1845, "My dear Louis, it would not, I'm sure, be necessary for me to write a long note to tell you that I do now at this particular time wish you a continuance of every happiness. You must already be aware of it without me telling you at all. And how to ensure such happiness? The book, which I beg you to receive in remembrance of me, will fully teach you. And the most pure and scriptural companion with which it is accompanied will explain more clearly than I can the most admirable methods of carrying out into practice those rules which can alone be given us by inspiration." That's how he started.
And gradually, and you can see in his letters to his fiancée, he started losing that faith. He did. And you see that gradually happening. And from looking from the outside in, it was obvious. But obviously, looking from his side of it, he was speaking words of wisdom in his mind.
When he talked to Louis or Mary or whatever you want to call her, see, he called her about five different names. He just liked her a lot. That's like me and Debbie. I call her all sorts of stuff. Just definitely my love of my life. But when he wrote to her and stuff, he talked to her about her faith and often contrasted it with his. But he like told her, like, "Oh, listen to those beautiful sentences from the communion service. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory of your Father which is in heaven." He literally is quoting right out of Matthew 5:16. Just a year into his big systematic, and the other thing is he's a systematic guy. And I tell about that in the book. I go into the details about how he's systematic and how he has something called remember. And that remember is a term that says we got to be good servants to God. We got to be good servants. Got to get this work done. Got to do this good service. And he always uses that when he talks to his girlfriend. And what he did was he didn't learn and place his trust in his King James Bible that he obviously grew up with. Instead, he started trusting men like this one guy named John Henry Newman. Newman the Rat. In fact, I just finished talking about this in South Carolina.
All right, we have to go to break here. Don't lose that thought, please, please, David. Folks, bear at the break with phone call next half hour. Also, if you have any questions, comments, at 717-300-1698. This is
war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we are back, and welcome again to the program tonight, and I hope you've got tuned in the first half hour. And then the phone number I gave out for you to call tomorrow, I'll give out again right now if you've got a pen handy, to call, please call Miss Julie Marino and ask her why she's attacking the family-oriented background of Cracker Barrel. Now, I will tell you, she came out of a woke college, so to speak, so you probably won't get to talk to her personally, but call and tell them that you don't like what Cracker Barrel's doing. And I, for one, will never darken the doors again because I have got to take a stand for the truth. Folks, allowing a little bit of a lie, as Westcott and Hort experienced, into your minds softens you against the next worst outright outburst of sin to the point you become callous to it. And you lose your, you become indifferent to it. And it absolutely is what, that's what destroys the body of Christ. That's a fact. The number to call is 800-333-9566. 800-333-9566. Call and tell them that you don't like what they're doing to the restaurant, to the homeless of the restaurant, if you will, and let them know that you're not going to be there anymore until they recant of what they've done. That's all I can say. Now, you were talking before the break about a very important point, David, and I had to cut you off for break. Please finish that point.
Hey there, David. Systematic living. Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
After only 1 year of the systematic living, all of a sudden, everything in Westcott's life came crashing down on the 19th of October, 1845, Sunday. He goes over and he writes to his girlfriend that he walked over to St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and he walked in there and he listened to the music, and he said, "I could not help kneeling down when the deep tones of the organ came swelling along and praying that I might be rightly directed in my belief. For how many of the difficulties I experienced, no one can tell." Like, then he says, "At least I trust I'm teachable, and do sincerely desire to find the truth, but I cannot acquiesce in that which I hope is true without I'm also convinced, but we shall say too much soon. Do not, my dear Louis, mistake me. It's no unwillingness to believe makes me speak thus, no dislike for our glorious system of Christianity, but a sense of duty to inquire into the grounds of my faith and the perfection of its practice. I do not for one moment doubt, and he holds there. But, well, we'll say no more. Louis, do you join your prayers with mine, and we shall doubtless both be directed rightly one way or another. When he says truth and blood, you already know there's a problem. And here's what I found out. Just 10 days before, he had placed his trust in this man, John Henry Newman, who had written all these tracts about Rome. First, it sounded like he was criticizing Rome, but after a while, he started talking about, well, you know, they only have some errors that need to be fixed, and he started lifting up Rome to the people, and then finally, that was starting in 1833, by 1845, he said, proof on the 9th, I'm a Catholic. He took 800 church leaders and other people straight over to Rome with him. It's called perverting Jerome. That's the English saying for it. And he was the one that Westcott looked up to, and it made him doubt. And he's sitting in this cathedral, and what I did is I did some history on this cathedral. This cathedral was designed by Jesuits. The Jesuits designed something called Baroque art. You ever heard of Baroque?
Yes, I have heard of it. Baroque period? Yes, absolutely, absolutely, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, well, Baroque art is designed for only, you can even Wikipedia admits it. Baroque art, and I learned this from Jesuits, Baroque art is designed to lift up your mind, to shock and awe you, and make you lift up your eyes, and what do they put up there high? Mary. To bring you through sensuality and art up into the worship of Mary. So he's literally in a Protestant cathedral designed by in a Jesuit architecture, and now he's feeling all these feelings while a guy has just that he trusted has just become a Catholic, and he's starting to question his faith. And from this point, he only went downhill. Now, there's four steps of the devil I wanted to mention. Four steps. The first one is confusion. It's always the same. Confusion. Yay, has God said? The second one is doubt. I don't know if God said it or not. The third one is the confusion, doubt, disbelief. I don't believe God said that. And then finally comes the fourth stage, rebellion. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to figure it out for myself. It doesn't matter what step you're on. You're always on the devil's steps if you're following that direction.
You know, and I've experienced this. I know you have too, David. We've all had that seed of doubt try to crop up in our minds or hearts. And we have to, as Barney Fife, you say, nip it in the bud. We got to stop it right away because it will spread. And yes. and doubt is the opposite of faith, obviously. And you cannot please God without faith. And I know that in man's mind and man's reasoning ability, it's hard to believe things we can't understand. We have a hard time receiving things we can't understand. And I know all this. I'm only a man. I've been through this. So when I speak about this, I'm not speaking about somebody who's been through it. I've been through it. Sometimes sometimes you got to turn around and say, Father, please cleanse my mind of this. Renew my faith. And let me get back with you as it once was as a child with a parent. Let me put absolute faith in you and trust you just as I did with my daddy growing up. My daddy took care of me. He fed me. He clothed me. He housed me. He watched over me. He provided my needs. That's what our Heavenly Father does too. And I had faith in my daddy. He would take care of that. I never went to bed one night Brother David. I never went to bed one night thinking in my mind, I won't have anything to eat tomorrow. Now, I know some people went through that because the parents couldn't help it. But I'm saying my dad was going to do his dead level best to make sure that I had something to eat, a place to sleep, and love in a home. And he did that. That's what our Heavenly Father does also. We may not see it, may not understand it. He may not, as old song you say, he didn't promise us a rose garden. But he promised to get us through to the end if we trust him. That's the whole key, is it not?
Yes. Now, I want to show two different responses. I talk about that in the book. Two different responses. We're talking about Gabriel, an archangel named Gabriel, special, given to give great messages. And he goes and he talks to Zechariah when he's right there in the temple. And he's right there between the table of showbread and the altar incense. And he's standing with incense. He's got to do the little changeover thing. You only get to do it by lot. This whole historical background, he'll do this once in his lifetime. This is his achievement, you know, and he's very old. His wife, Elizabeth, is without child, but he's going in there and he's doing this honorable thing, and Gabriel stands in front of him, and he then tells him that he's going to have a son and telling about John, and then he questions him, saying, how can this be? How can this be? I mean, how can you do this? He asks a question in such a way that what you're hearing from him is doubt. And it's just amazing. And the response that the angel gives is more like a body slam. He says, so Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And what does he say? He says, I am Gabriel. But stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and show thee glad tidings. And then what did he do to him? He made him not able to speak for 9 months.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And then now, the same angel, it wasn't in the big holy temple, he was in a little house in Nazareth. Little Mary, she's in there. And he goes to, then Mary says to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She didn't say whether it's going to happen. How will I know you're telling me the truth? She's asking, by what means is this going to happen? And the angel answers it and blesses her. She gets to say all these great things to God and got this great poetry that's there in the scripture. And Zechariah says, shut up, not saying a word. That's the difference between faith and doubt. Faith gets you everything with God. Doubt, not so much. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
That's
and
right.
He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6.
And folks, be thankful, as I am, that God does not strike you dead the moment you have a doubt. Because you walk in a fleshly body. We're fed on fleshly meat of the world daily. No matter where you go, no matter where you look, the world is full of iniquity. It's everywhere around you. You cannot but keep your eyes off of it, because every time you turn around, you see something that you know is unclean in the eyes of God, and you try to walk from it. So doubt is easily planted in our minds and hearts. It truly is. This is not a put down. This is a fact. I'm just saying this because I live it. You're going to go through it too. But if we put our eyes back on Christ, just as Peter did on the water. Peter walked on the water. Did just fine. He had a little doubt in his mind. He took his eyes off Christ and started to sink. But he had enough sense to look up and say, save me. He was sinking. He had enough sense to ask for Christ to help him. We have to do the same thing. It's the only way it's going to work. I don't mean to keep cutting you off, Dave, but this is so good. Go ahead. We'll take phone calls in a minute. Go ahead.
Sure, and I just want to say that just a few months later, look what happened to him. He starts keeping that diary that I told you about. So in January of 1846, he began this intimate diary. So even beyond what he said to his girlfriend or anyone else, he says to this diary, and he said, how shall I account for a sudden and strange feeling with which I'm filled, that I ought to retire to a monastery or live in entire seclusion? Not that I believe the Romish creed, but their practice allures me. And that's the thing that the Whore of Babylon does. It allures people with the whole textual critical movement, with the whole, even the modern Bible translation movement, and Eugene Nida and another book I wrote called Why They Changed the Bible, One World Bible for One World Religion. I go through his history. They use for him his love of church fathers, not those eight ones I listed out of the New Testament, but all those other ones who ultimately led toward Roman Catholicism and that disagreed with each other. By using that, they pulled them away from the Bible. And I have other writings of Jesuits where they say, we want to pull them away from the Bible, and the church fathers are a great way to do it. Another way is called science, because science starts with doubt. You come up with an idea, then you doubt about it. you have questions about, okay, how is this going to come together, or that going to come together, and then you set up an experiment to see if your doubts are true or if it turns out to be something else. Everything starts in doubt. But they try to tell you that the Bible is to be examined scientifically. No, it's not. It's supposed to be examined by faith. Find out what God would do. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. And I was a top Greek student in my Bible college. I passed right into the highest level of Greek at Fuller Seminary, walked right in and tested up and into it. So I'm not stupid. But you don't have to know all that stuff. What you have to ask yourself is, did God promise to preserve his words? And yes, he did. Even a Jehovah's Witness Bible says that. I know of a Jehovah's Witness girl who became a Christian because she saw the promises in Scripture, then realized that there was something wrong with the Bible and something wrong with that religion because it wasn't doing what she was saying. So there was enough in there to pull her toward faith. It was amazing. But nonetheless.
Well, it doesn't take much to plant a seed of doubt. We know that. Let's take a couple phone calls backing up here. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, but you mentioned something about the seminary, and I know when I went to seminary in Seattle, at Seattle Lutheran Bible Institute, I remember a course that I had, not a course, but a class. And what we had was about six different Bibles, and we had to compare them all. And you know, one of the Bibles, the one Bible they didn't have there was the King James. This was everybody else's Bible. And they were, in fact, I was using the Revised Standard Bible. That's the one I used for years. And then I went to the NIV, which you might have put Lucifer's name all over it. And then I went to the New King James. What a counterfeit. And then I kept praying, God, help me with the Word of God. And I kept praying about this. And so I started getting convicted to read the old 1611. My wife and I started doing that, and I was under so much attack from Satan. I sat in tears one night, or just about in tears one night, and said, God, help me read this book. I mean, I never knew that Satan can attack so hard to keep people from reading the book.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, that was hard on me. But getting back to the Lutheran Church, and I still love the Lutheran Church, except the problem so much heresy in it now. Man, I remember the great super merger back in the 1980s, the late 80s. One of the things that they were talking about was changing doctrine. One way they questioned about Jesus being virgin birth. The other one they questioned, not questioned, they said homosexuality is a free gift to God and should be celebrated. You know, doctrinal things like that. So they're actually they were changing the Word of God, and I'm convinced that the people behind that merger and the ones behind the Bible changes were students of Satan. I'm convinced of that.
Well, they definitely
were. Know it.
Yeah. They were definitely were disbelievers, and I had professors who were disbelievers. And in fact, before I went to Fuller Seminary, I queried my professors, and except for two women, all the males that were there were all evolutionists.
Wow.
At Fuller Seminary.
No, I can believe that.
That's
a Baptist seminary.
That's amazing.
Daryl,
Joe, I hate to jump. I got to get another call here, but thanks for the point. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, let's go to Daryl in PA. Daryl, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Butch and David. And what a blessing and pleasure to talk to two of my favorite Christian brothers and friends. So, and I just want to tell everyone, please support Pastor Butch and Call to Decision by getting the materials that he mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast. And please support Chick Publications, David W. Daniels.
Yes. Yes.
David W. Daniels and Pastor Butch are both prolific writers, and David has written, I'll bet you, well over three dozen books just defending the old King James and the manuscripts that underlie the old King James. And so I just want to say, first of all, praise the Lord, and I thank both of you for the tremendous work and diligence that you've done in research and writing and in defending the old King James, which seems to be the favorite Bible for the Jesuits and their so-called Protestant-loving crowd that support them. They seem to hate the old King James with a purple passion. And so I just want to thank both of you for your great faithfulness and your great steadfastness in opposing these newer Bible versions, which are out of the pit of hell. And I just want to thank you both, and praise the Lord for both of you. And I want to thank you both so very, very much. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Butch and David W. Daniels, for your great steadfastness and faithfulness in defending the old King James Bible. And by the way, folks, Chick Publications has materials available not only in English but also in Spanish. And my area, even here in Pennsylvania, is getting more and more Spanish-speaking people all the time. So keep that in mind. And please pray for Pastor Butch Paw and Call to Decision, and for David W. Daniels and Chick Publications. Thank you both, gentlemen, so very much.
Thank you very much for this call. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anything you want to say to that, David?
It's a privilege to be able to do this. I'm so glad that somebody can stand. And we stand because it's so easy. When you've got the truth, all you have to do is just stay there.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
Like you know, say, if you have a lion, the lion will defend itself.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is let it loose.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you can use, you can stick the lion on them, so to speak, by using the right word. And they cannot come out against it. They cannot defend against it. That's just the way it is. But, you know, Satan is not stupid. He's been doing this in a long time. So my heart goes out to people trying to warn them, please, please, don't be deceived. It's so easily done because we're mere mortals. I mean, Westcott and Hort were educated people in the Scriptures. They were Christians. And they were deceived. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, yeah, the devil tries to get people to read the Bibles that are contradicting one another, that the verses contradict one another, the principles contradict one another, the doctrines contradict one another, and it makes them then question their faith at all. And we knew two people in Bible college that both, one became a religionist, one became a spiritualist, and it was when they watched my videos and stuff, and just praise God for that, that they brought him back to faith. And it was Bible college that turned him away. It wasn't the world. It was Bible college. So it's like really important that you have to take your kid and teach him the King James Bible. My book, New King James, the Bridge Bible, the key to that book is Salim Ziadis, or Sam Moore, as he's called in America, didn't teach his son the Bible, and that's why the New King James exists, because when the time came, he was old enough to go to the Bible school, and he would give him a nice King James Bible, and he says, I can't read this. His dad never taught him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, listen, we're teaching him morning, noon, and night. I did that with all five of my kids, and all five of my kids are King James Bible believers. They're full adults, and we now have 10 grandkids, and they're teaching them.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's very well said. Very well said. And again, the seed of doubt is easily planted, and even so-called Christian schools are destroying many souls today in America. They are nothing different from public schools, except they have the name Christian in front of it. And planting that doubt in a child's mind at an early age, it's hard to weed up, folks, by the time they're adults. It's hard to tear that out of there. The quicker it's out, the better it is. Better yet, try not, with everything in you, not let that seed be planted at all. And as David just said, it's a parent's duty, to educate their children in all things, especially Scriptures. And men of the house, if you're blessed to have a daddy at home, children that loves you, listen to what he says if he's trying to teach you the Bible out of the King James Bible. It's a man's duty to teach the family as a spiritual leader. That's his duty. And for single moms out there, I understand you have a different situation, but that doesn't relieve you the duty to teach your children in the ways of God. And we're down about the last couple minutes here. Daniel, I'm going to let you kind of close up. How can folks find out more about you? How can they get your books and your materials?
Okay, well, first, go to www.chick.com. That's where you'll find everything Chick right there from our company. And if you want to find out about my page, it's chick.com/Bible. Really easy. If you want to find our YouTube channel, where I have over 390 videos, and I keep on trying to put more up as we have conferences, like I just got back from South Carolina, then that'll be youtube.com/ and then the @ and then Chick Track. So youtube.com/@ChickTrack. That'll give you the YouTube channel with over 390 plus videos. And if you go to chick.com/Bible, you'll see my books and stuff. And all of Chick stuff, including all our tracks, over 250 or so, chick.com.
Well, David, I want to thank you for joining me again tonight. I know you're busy up to your eyeballs every day. I know that. And I appreciate that when I call you or send you a text, you're faithful to answer and honor me with your presence on the broadcast. And I hope you don't mind me bugging you once in a while, but I really enjoy your work.
I don't mind at all. It's a pleasure. God bless you.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you in the future. If you need anything I do for you anytime, you let me know. Please.
I will. Okay.
Okay. All right. God bless. Folks, again, David Daniels, the book's entitled From Faith to Doubt. It's worth getting a copy of. Share with your friends. Read it yourself, of course. Understand what it says. And learn how with these two men that started out with good intentions were deceived right into Satan's team. Destroy the faith of millions of people. I said millions of people. And watch the movie, Time Changer. Watch
there you
it.
Go.
You'll see that on there.
Bobby.
You'll see that on there. And I just hope that you'll watch that. The little bit of,
did
a little
you hear
bit of
any of it?
I hear somebody talking back to me somewhere.
Not really. I just
talking to Johnny. Okay, where's it coming from? But anyway, movie Time Changer will show you what one little bit of error left in a book can do to the future for the people. Satan is the deceiver. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's having pretty much his free will in America right now today because the church has lost the strength, the will, and the courage to stand against him. Call that number tomorrow. Speak up. Be courageous for the glory of God. Don't be ashamed of his name, and don't compromise with the devil or his people. You love him if you can. You do your best to reach him for Christ. You don't do that with beating him over the head sometimes, but something as blatant as what this so-called CEO did of Cracker Barrel, speak up. We love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night with another man's testimony. You're going to love to hear. Have a great night. Good night.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.